Open the floor for Mr. Lutke.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We'll get this, we'll get warmed up. At your request, I've compiled some information regarding the cost of paramedic response as it currently exists and as it may be affected in the future. This version of what you have is slightly different from the one I believe you were given one in your packets last week. I made a couple of minor adjustments in it in case something looks different. Anyone knows the theme from Jeopardy? This would be a good time to whistle it, I suppose. While we're waiting for that to warm up, I attended the graduation at Del Tech in Dover last night, and pleased to report that two of our people who were involved, education up there, graduated last night. Stuart Hensley, who is a part of our competition team, graduated magna cum laude last night, and Brian Deck, one of our new people that we put in school together, graduated summa cum laude last night.
So we're wonderful.
Kind of proud of that.
Excellent.
Anyhow, onto the topic of the day. As we've discussed before, our growth has been pretty constant over the years. There was a dip in 2001 in the number of, represents the number of calls that we've received. And that dip was due to a change in the response protocol where we stopped responding to a type of call that we used to respond to. It turned out that we weren't needed on those. They were minor car crashes that we were going on. And we were finding that for the minor ones, we didn't need a paramedic response. So in 2001, that response was changed, which is what's responsible for the dip there. Other than that, there has been a steady rise, and we see no reason to anticipate that pattern will not continue. This graphic lays out where the calls occur, and the lighter the color, the more calls occur there. And you can see that the Route 13 corridor is a busy area. You can see the area around Milford and the central toward the east area of the county is where most of our calls occur. And if you kind of lay that over here, this lays out some of the calls that occur in the incorporated towns within the county. And those two match up pretty closely. That's where most of our calls occur, because that's where most of our people are.
Len, the Lewis numbers are so high. Is that because you're taking in Coastal Highway maybe with Lewis?
That and the fact that it's in the tourist area.
Right, but I mean, it's higher than Rehoboth, which, and even if you add Rehoboth and Dewey, yeah. It's hard, you know, it seems higher.
The catchment area is bigger up there.
Yeah. All right, that's all right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This lays it out by number, by town by number, you can see the asterisk next to Milford just refers to the fact that some of those calls are in Kent County, but the fact is that we respond to those calls, so it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference which county they're in. We cover that area with our unit up there. And the total number of calls that were in incorporated towns for last year was 5190. That's somewhat less than a third of the total calls. Total calls were 17,000 and some. These figures essentially come from the DEMSOC report, the state report, and are largely drawn from Eden. This shows how we've been financed and how we're currently financed. When the paramedic program was started in late 1990, the state contributed 60% of the cost of running the program, and the county contributed 40%. That remained through the years up until 2004, at which time the state decided that they didn't want to fund that much of it, and they dropped it over a two-year period. The goal was to drop it to 40-60 the other way. And there was a transition period. The first year was 50-50, and then in 2005, that percentage went to 40% for the state and 60% for the county, which has held until today. The legislation that mandates that was changed last year, very late in the session. Actually, it was one of those after midnight things that changed it. And next year, according to that legislation, the state portion will drop to 30%, and the county then is left with 70% of that expense to take care of.
How much does the user pay?
I'm sorry?
How much does the user pay? What percentage?
The user pays nothing. We charge the user nothing for the service. And actually, we've looked in a couple of times, Mr. Baker and I have discussed it on a number of occasions, and we've looked at the possibility of charging. The problem is that it largely goes by what the Medicare rules are, and only one agency can charge for service. And right now, the fire departments, which actually operate the ambulance and transport the patients, is the entity that can charge. The only way that we would be able to realize income from that would be if we somehow partnered up with the volunteer fire companies and charged at the advanced life support rate for those calls where we provide service. The rates are different between a basic life support response and an advanced life support response. If we added that difference in there, then we could be rebated the difference between the two. But frankly, the difference isn't a whole lot. And Mr. Baker, I believe you had those figures that we generated last time. Yeah. By the time you do the paperwork and do the billing and all of that, looking at it, it didn't look to be worthwhile. And actually, we consulted with one of the, in addition to running our own numbers, we consulted with one of the organizations that handle billing for a lot of the fire departments, and they came up with they came to the same conclusion at that time.
I was told it was about $100 per call.
It actually came up a little less than that, as I recall, David. It's been a while since we looked at those numbers.
Yeah.
But
we looked at it a few months ago.
Yeah. More like 30 or 40, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was about half that or maybe less. Yeah.
On 17,000 calls, though, $40 turns out to be $680,000.
Yeah. Understand, this was 17,000 responses, and that's different from number of calls. There are a number of ways of counting these things. If we send the way the state counts these things, if we send two units on a call, that's two calls. So that inflates the number somewhat, the number of, and it relates to patients transported. So you also have to take off of that calls where no service is rendered or where paramedics do not transport. And that happens, not a significant amount of time, but not an insignificant amount of time either. So by the time you knock that all down, it's actually fewer. It's actually fewer than that. And we can share those figures with you at some point if you'd like. This is essentially our cost. Now, the 2008 budget figure is before we made all the adjustments that we made back in beginning in December and pared it down. But again, these numbers come from the DEMSOC report, and that's the number they use, so that's the number that we use. We were budgeted initially for the current fiscal year at $13,109,176. The county portion at 60% of that is $7.8 million. Therefore, the cost per call, as you break it down, is $738.84. 60% of that is $443.30. So we took that number and just ran it with the numbers of calls that we had from the state and came up with the figures that you see here, that 5,190 calls for the towns at $443 would be an expense of $2.3 million. The remainder, the $5.5 million, is the calls that represents the calls that are in the unincorporated area. So that's just kind of the state of where we are. I don't have a point to this. It's just to inform you as to what the state of the finance is. And currently, it's going to it will not improve if the numbers going to 70% and 30%. We anticipate each year that our call volume will go up approximately right around 5% somewhere, and we anticipate that again for this year. We anticipate that our budget is going to drop significantly this year, and the latest figures that we've seen from what will be proposed indicates that. Therefore, the cost per call, the overall cost per call, will probably go down, but the county's portion of it will probably go up because of that 10% difference. It'll go up slightly. I think the numbers that I ran, your current cost per call is $443.30. A very ballpark estimate would make the county's cost per call $469.72.
I have one question, then I'll open it up. Well, Mr. Minson, what have you got?
No, it wasn't a question, I guess, so much as a statement, I guess. Obviously, looking at those numbers you had up there of $2,300,000, for the calls that your agency runs in incorporated areas.
Mm-hmm.
And all the money, to my knowledge anyway, Mr. Baker, all the money that we use to fund the paramedic system comes from really transfer tax.
Yes.
And really, transfer tax that is collected in incorporated towns goes to them.
Yes.
So in essence, those people in the county, unincorporated areas, are funding the whole system for the paramedic service. So when we do budgets and look at budget numbers and grants and things like that, I mean, the towns are getting $2.3 million off the top. So if there are things we have to cut for the towns, I think that certainly is a pretty good number they're receiving.
Good Mr. point. Cole?
Just to play off of what Mike just said there, but Mike, you got to take into consideration, I think, even though we fund it through our transfer tax, all the properties, every real property in the towns pay county tax. And many of the times they're not receiving all our services or what services we provide. They actually, many times the towns have more services than we have. So they do pay. I mean, we do receive money from everybody, every resident that lives in a town. So you can look at it that way. It's not like they're not paying any kind of county tax. Now, just because we decided to fund it years ago, we had to figure out once we took it on, how were we going to fund it? Were we going to look at the tax base, you know, the general fund, or are we going to look at this source or whatever? And I think the tendency back in the old days when we were trying to take on some of these services, we tried to find a source of funding, you know, like the firemen, we go through permits and, you know, different things. So we looked at the transfer tax as a source of funding this. Now, just to say that, you know, we're giving the towns $2 million worth of services, I mean, we do collect a heck of a lot more than $2 million out of all the towns when it comes to the property tax. And many times they don't need many of our services. They're, like in, say, Rehoboth, they get water and sewer from Rehoboth. They got police protection, you know, they're paying that, plus county tax. They have their own inspectors. We discount them, right, on some of the stuff. Isn't that correct, Bob?
Our building permits, we discount.
But we don't discount 100%. We still take something, but we do give them a discount. So they do still pay. They are paying to the county for some county services. And so I've always felt comfortable, you know, with the arrangement we've had. So, I mean, just, well, I don't think they're getting anything. I mean, they are paying.
What services are the counties providing to county folks that the towns can't enjoy? You said that they're not utilizing all of the county services.
Well, they don't need our, I mean, a city like Rehoboth, probably Seaford, they have their own building inspection, right? Now, they don't need ours. I mean, we pay for that, right?
Well, those are things that the only people right. pay for, those that use it.
That's my
I mean, if you walk in here and buy a building permit, you pay for that, right? My tax dollar isn't subsidizing your building permit.
You need a county permit and a city permit whenever you build anything.
Right.
You need two permits, and we charge for it.
Sure, we do.
I mean, there's money coming into this, and then they don't need anything. So we do receive some monies. I don't know what it is. I've never broken it down. We do receive monies from the towns, in a substantial amount of money from the towns, and a lot of the services aren't needed that we have. Because they can do it, but we still charge for it, a portion of it, a little bit. But, you know, if we don't charge 100%, we give a discount. But we're still getting money out of them. So there is money coming out of all these towns into the county.
There's also money coming out of by the county, too, pays tax, too.
Oh, I understand. Right. But it's I don't think it's real. It's too lopsided. I mean, I don't see an inequity, my personal opinion is at this point. I mean,
Mr. Baker.
$2 million doesn't, you're saying that we're subsidizing $2 million to the
tax. Out of transfer tax.
Okay.
Mr. Baker, with regards to, say, fire service money that we're providing through the grant aid program, are the towns also subsidizing their fire companies?
The fire service funding is, for the most part, is funded by realty transfer tax also.
From the county or from the towns?
From the unincorporated areas
from
of the county.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a...
Yeah,
I don't want to get into a debate with the towns. Yeah. We work very well together, and it's a relationship that's critical. We have a partnership with the towns. But at the same time, when the money gets tight like it has been lately, it's probably an appropriate time to start looking at the allocations. And this was an enlightening presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Lepke?
Thank you, sir.
How do you know, when you said, well, go, you count as two vehicles or one vehicle going to an accident, how do you determine whether to send one vehicle or two vehicles?
There are a couple of rules that we live by. First of all, whenever we run a paramedic call, by state law, there have to be two paramedics responding. And most times there are two paramedics on the truck. One of the things that happens is that after we get to the call, very often one paramedic will need to transport to go with the transport vehicle, and take that patient to the hospital. The other paramedic is able to go back into service, which provides coverage for the area, which is a good thing that we can do. However, if that paramedic then receives a second call, then we run another unit with them to provide the second paramedic. So someone, either the supervisor will ride in with them, or the next due paramedic unit will ride in with them. That's one instance. In other instances, the call is of such magnitude that we need more than one paramedic unit on the scene. In other instances, the supervisor is required to respond along with the two-person unit to provide care. So there are a couple of mandatory responses that do that, that call on us to provide more than one unit. And there are a couple of optional things that happen, like the backup coverage for the single medic that end up requiring a second medic coming in.
Are you saying the paramedics, two paramedics go and needs a supervisor?
Sometimes, well, part of the supervisor's job is to supervise, and one of the ways that you do that is to observe the people who are on the scene actually doing the job, and that's a very important part of what they do for us, and that gives us the feedback as to not only how well they're operating, but how well our systems are operating, and we rely on the input from those supervisors a great deal.
And they're there to assist also.
And they're there to assist also. If you need a third set of hands, they're there.
In other words, the supervisor is more educated in medical field than the regular paramedic.
Not at all. All of our personnel are educated exactly the same. Where the difference is, obviously, supervisors are also educated to supervise, which is a separate skill set from providing direct patient care. So they do that in addition to. That's why we pay them more.
For instance, what would they supervise?
They supervise in the case of a complicated scene. They run the overall scene and make sure that there are enough resources coming in. If you have a multi-car, multi-vehicle accident, they'll work with the local fire chief and supervise the medical aspects of the call, making sure that there are a million things that have to be done in addition to directly taking care of that patient. We have to, for instance, inform the hospitals that are going to be receiving patients that they're going to receive them, because they don't like surprises any better than we do. And so a part of that's a part of what a good supervisor can do on the scene, is make sure that the hospitals are notified, make sure that enough resources are responding to the scene, make sure that the right resources are responding to the scene. All of that is a part of scene management. On a simple call, the treating paramedic can also run those aspects, but on a more complicated call, it really takes another set of eyes and ears to be able to, basically the supervisor stands back and looks at the whole picture. The treating paramedic walks in and looks at that patient.
What, now you said a while ago we're going to pick up 10%.
Probably 5%. Probably 5%.
The funding allocation.
The funding we pick up. I'm sorry, yeah, I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about call volume. The county will pick up an additional 10% of the funding, because the state is dropping by 10%.
Well, how about if we decide to do the same thing?
Then there's not enough money.
We don't decide to pick up the 10%. What's going to happen?
Then there's not enough money to run the system. We've got to fall back and regroup.
I mean, after all, the state has their pleasure of doing what they want. How come we don't?
Mr. Lutke,
something to think about. That's all. Yeah, it's
a fair comment, Mr. Wilson, and to elaborate, the state currently administers the paramedic program. We were basically operating under their authority.
The law is there is a state law that governs that governs the paramedic system. That's the way the system was set up in 1990, that it was a statewide system. And there are certain, heaven knows there are certain advantages to that. We have a uniform system that any paramedic from anywhere in the state can come here and operate. And we've used that. We used that when we dealt with the line of duty death that we had last year, and we brought in paramedics from Newcastle County and Kent County to cover, and it was absolutely seamless. We're all trained to the same standard. A lot of this has to do with the medical side of it, with the medical treatment side of it, we have statewide treatment protocols. We treat people the same way, as far as the protocols are concerned, that a paramedic in Kent and Newcastle County does. So yes, I mean, that's a lot of the standards are set at the state level. And we have very high standards in this state, make no mistake about that. And a lot of that is due to the fact that we have a very aggressive medical community. Now, that said, there are other aspects that could perhaps be looked at, and we've discussed this, that, you know, that perhaps if we're going to, you know, assume more of the financial responsibility, we may want to look into assuming more of the operational responsibility for how things work to control costs. The medical side of it is really to our advantage to have those kinds of standards. That's an advantage to every patient that we treat.
This body support that effort to bring more of the operational authority to the county level?
Change the state law, right?
It would require changes in state law.
The law laid it all out that it was going to be run out of the counties, but the state was going to help finance it, and that's what we're stuck with. And they've just, you know, got themselves out of the financial arrangement. You know, they changed the terms all the time, and I guess they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, do the other two counties support your assertion that we need to have more of the operational authority?
I'm not sure of that. My conversations with my colleagues have not led me in that direction. The direction that they'd like to go in is to restore some of the state funding that's been cut.
We know that's not going to happen. So what's our next move?
Yeah. So, I think we're all interested in upholding the kind of medical standard that we have. There may be other ways to do it, and we've discussed this. There may be other ways to do it that are just as effective that we can explore. But we would need the ability to do that, and that's beyond my level. That's up at the state house where they make the laws and change them.
Mm-hmm. Does the state set the standard of pay?
No, sir.
Does the county not have anything to do with standard of pay?
No.
It's paid same throughout, right?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. The county sets the standard of compensation.
Okay.
Any other questions for Mr. Ludwig? Let us know if there's anything we can do to assist you in having that operational authority brought back to the local level.
I will do that.
Well, if we're going to pay it, we should have some say.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ludwig.
Thank you very much.
Per the amended agenda, Mr. Baker on budget issues.
Next week, the Budget Committee will be presenting the proposed fiscal 2010 budget for your consideration. As we have discussed on a number of occasions, county revenues are considerably below previous levels. Our realty transfer tax is down over $4 million compared to this year's budget. Our housing-related revenues are expected to be $2.2 million less next year. Based on our estimates, and less than half of the 2005-2006 levels. Our state paramedic grant revenue, as was just discussed, is expected to be less by $1.2 million due to the change in the anticipated change in the state formula. In fiscal 2007 and 2008, we did experience deficits for the year in the general fund. As per the attached chart, that of $2.7 million and $3.3 million, and we are anticipating a loss either in this fiscal year, which ends June 30, of $3.8 million. The top chart shows, again, net income with estimated for this year and the four preceding years. And then the next chart is a five-year projection based on rough numbers in the general fund. We think these are conservative numbers, and it's a rough estimate reflecting revenue estimates, assuming a pretty much static economy without realty transfer tax and housing-related incomes rising until 2013. So just to give you an idea, and these are some of the things we'll be talking about next week. The Budget Committee, with declining general fund revenues, has been struggling with the grants and aid budget. The county now, as in the past, is funding many worthy causes in Sussex County. But given the difficult economic climate, our committee will be recommending some reductions next Tuesday, including reductions in the grants and aid budget. And what we'd like to do today is review with you a draft portion of this budget just for discussion purposes. And as you can see from the draft, the draft proposal is roughly 25% below the current budget for grants and aid. And our goal was to not adversely affect our citizens in a major way during these tough economic times by making too many drastic changes to this budget. To go over some of the changes that we are suggesting in this draft, fire service funding, fire service grants are down 8%. Funding from the fire service enhancement fee is estimated to be down even further than that. When that fee is a fee on our building permit, and whatever we collect, we transfer to the volunteer fire companies. In total, if that fee comes in at the estimated level, then fire service funding would be down from $3,466,000 to $2,893,000. State police grants down 13%, assuming we stay with the current contracts, but not add four additional state troopers like we have over the last few years. So we maintain at 40 state police troopers in addition to whatever the state allocation is. The state has not, in the budgets that we have been privy to, is not recommending state funding for those four additional troopers. The open space program, we are not recommending in the draft here an amount to be included in the budget. We do have $750,000 that we budgeted this year. We have about $1.5 million available at this point that is unspent in the open space program. Sussex Conservation District grants in total were down 21%. They include, there's four parts to the Sussex Conservation District grants, and as you can see in total, $102,000 versus $128,595. The University of Delaware Ag Extension Service, we are recommending a major change there. We have in the budget $138,000, and that is suggested to go down by 50% to $69,049. The Housing Assistance Program, we budgeted $100,000 this year, and we are recommending $30,000 next year for a couple of reasons. One, there's more federal money available, and the other for housing assistance programs is part of the stimulus package. And also, the money, the $30,000 that we are recommending, would be used for housing rehabs for people on the waiting list or people that come and we need to take care of a problem immediately. Police law enforcement, local law enforcement grants, there are 21 towns with police, and we are suggesting a 50% reduction in that funding from $525,000 to $262,500, which would bring their individual grants down from $25,000 to $12,500. Sewer and water grants are projected down 36% from $1.4 million to $905,000. This includes leaving the 100 front foot assessment cap and beefing up the wastewater relief fund for individuals who qualify for that assistance with their sewer bills. Capital improvement or county improvement grants, county council improvement grants, your discretionary grants that are down 51% from $305,000 to $150,000. And then there are other grants that are recommended an 8% reduction, including human service grants, First Aid Community Action, CHEER, Georgetown Payment in Lieu of Taxes, and local library grants. So we wanted to just basically review this with you here today. And we do have members of the Budget Committee, Kathy Roth, Gina Jennings, and, of course, Sue Webb, who are here today. These are some of the suggestions that we have at this point.
I'll open the floor up to council. Mr. Cole.
You want to go, John?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Would you, Dave, quickly update, because we've got new members here, the state police grants. We have started, when we started them, basically it was, I guess, a response to people wanting a county police force and this and that. We decided it was cheaper and get a bigger bang for a buck to subsidize existing programs like the state police. Over the years, we have had now, at this point, how many additional officers does the county pay for?
We fund 40 additional 40. State police over and above the state allocation for Sussex County.
Okay.
They allocate so many in Kent, Newcastle, and Sussex.
So
and this is 40 additional.
So the every year we pay for those 40?
We pay. It's not 100%. It's roughly, it varies. There's a graduated scale, but eventually it becomes 50%. We pay 50% for 40 state troopers.
So we're not proposed with your proposed budget.
That
we're
is,
not adding any more troopers.
We're not adding any more next
Just
year.
Just paying for ones we have.
Right now, part of the reason for that is that the state of Delaware, the governor's budget that we have, that we are privy to, and I've been told only includes funding for 40 on the state side, funding for 40 additional state troopers. It does not include funding for 4 new next year, even though our agreement specifies that.
Okay, what I'm getting at is, I think, is we've done a good job helping to subsidize additional police protection and you know, whatever, overall security for this county with this program. I would rather at this point, because I've had some conversations now with some local law enforcement people in some of these small towns. When you discover the amount of activity, Ocean View, for example, in the summertime, the number of calls that are just outside their city limits. So they go, and they're the first line of defense for most of those people in the unincorporated area. So state police can't get there very fast. So the local police, you know, go outside their district and they provide coverage into our county area. I would like to maybe propose that we continue funding 100%, you know, get back to the 100% level with our local law enforcement grants. And if we had to even cut back on the troopers, we're find out what that money would, you know, how much money that is, and if it cuts a few troopers, then maybe the state of Delaware can, when they're going to bring on some new troopers, they can bring on those guys that we would have let loose or something. If you know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm leading up to?
You'd like to reallocate the
I'd like state. To cut the state police and give it to the locals, because I think the local law enforcement is in dire need, more so than the state of Delaware and the state police organizations.
I'll accept that as a motion. Is there a second?
Well, I don't, if there any discussion on it, I mean, I just threw that out.
I'm concerned with the overall police protection that we have in the county, totally, whether it's from the state or the towns, you know, because my district, people who live up in Lincoln, they have, it's Troop 7 that has to answer to Lincoln. That's a long, long way.
Does Lincoln have any police now? They have one.
I don't believe so.
Suggest maybe Ellendale. If you would.
Ellendale has one and a half.
I guess what I'm a little concerned about is.
I'd like to just see the numbers. I mean, I don't think we need to vote on it today.
Okay.
I think what I'd like to do is, there a way that we can adjust that formula so that we can come back and give the local towns their full allocation, that we not increase anything, but just try to get them back to what we've had them on? Because I think that is, in my estimation, more important at this point. Because they can respond to more citizens faster than typically your state police can respond to some of these disputes and issues and accidents, et cetera.
We have a budget presentation next week. Our budget will be introduced next week if all goes as planned. My concern is that...
shouldn't do it all at one time?
Maybe by not...
Let me just ask Vance, how about other councilmen? How do you feel about that proposal that I just laid out on the table, the importance of the locals, law enforcement, retaining their funding and cutting back on the state police, because we have been very generous. How many years have we done this, David? 10 years? More?
Oh, it's more than that.
More than 10 years? Right? Anyway, we have been
it's
funding.
I would suggest that maybe if you would allow me to talk to the State Police Administration just to see what the impact would be
okay.
on this and how they would work it out. And they
and it's possible they may be agreeable. I know they have a lot of changes in their staffing, so I've been told, and it might work out with them as well as us. So,
okay. All right, Mr. Vincent?
The money that you have been spending on the state police program, yes, where does that come from?
Transfer tax.
Transfer tax, yeah.
Public safety.
Wonder if the towns couldn't spend some of their transfer tax to help.
There you go.
I mean, because some of these towns, I think.
Well, they do. They use their transfer tax for various city functions. They're not. It's not as if they're not using it, Mike. They're not getting. There's very little transfer tax coming into their area. A small town doesn't have the resources, say, of the transfer tax we get from the whole county.
I understand that.
We have a lot more geographical area to draw from. So, yeah, I mean, you can use that same argument that you do with the paramedics. But I'm just saying we have been doing this. We've been subsidized. We've been subsidized in the state of Delaware. And I just think if we're going to subsidize, and I think this is part of, you know, what the county, you know, we should be doing. I don't have any problem with the county helping in some of these areas. But I would rather see us cut the state police and give to the local law enforcement and move them back up to their funding that we had established, which was, what, $25,000 per police department?
Maybe the attorney can answer this. We have a contract with the state police.
Yes.
Can we get out of the contract?
It's a year-to-year thing.
Mm-hmm. There are three contracts, and at least one of them we can get out with I think it's a 60 or 90-day notice. But the other two are like, there's a notice, but it's really, and I don't quote me on it. Not 100% certain. We did look at it. Not all of them you can get out of with a 60-day notice at any time. But there is at least one that has like a 60 to 90-day notice that you could get out of. The others you can get out of like 60 or 90 days prior to the start of the fiscal year or something like that.
By the state not funding the four last year, they in essence broke the contract?
Well, they would July 1st.
July 1st,
they are,
okay.
They have been. So
I guess we could always send them notice like they did with the paramedics. Tell them you got 20% more or 10% more.
Yeah, yeah.
Give you the same notice. The ball bounces the other way. Put her in the other court. But, well, George, if you're talking about money cutting, we can't have that attitude of saying we just can't cut, or we're going to be in a budget problem.
No, I said if what we have proposed here, I would rather make more. We got a 12%, if I'm not reading this right, Sussex State Police Program, we have a percentage in change that says 13%.
13% reduction,
okay.
Right.
Reduction. I'd make that a bigger reduction and put that, in other words, not change anything, but just put it, you know, reallocate it down here to the local law enforcement. Because all I can tell you is out, like where I live, Sam, I'm outside the city limits, and I've seen the local police respond, and they're responding to county citizens. They're providing services to our people, you know, our constituents, basically, and we do receive something out of it. And if you had the numbers similar to what Glenn had brought about the calls and stuff, you could get from each of these local police departments the number of calls that go outside their border versus the calls inside their border. So all I'm just saying is I think it's of greater importance at this juncture to keep the locals fully funded with what we've been doing, which is only $25,000.
I respect.
Just reallocate. I'm not asking for any new money.
You're sort of making a point to my argument in the past. We spent all this money sending out trying to get people come into our state and go to Rehoboth and all these resort areas, make all this fast money, and then the rest of the county has to help carry them. And the roadway, the whole work.
Sam, let me point out something about all that development. One councilman over in the coastal area was saying no to most of that development, and four councilmen on the western side of the council we're saying more development at the beach. Well, so you know what?
Well,
it comes back to bite you.
It's whether whether live or not, George.
It's another argument, Sam. I don't want to get it. We're going to get bogged down here, Sam.
Well, let me bring this to a head. For the new members of council, some of you, of course, have worked this, for instance, Mr. Vincent at Seaford. Today's presentation is an informative presentation by our administrator to let us know the direction that he's going with his grant and aid comparison. And this particular aspect of the budget is one of the most difficult for Mr. Baker, because this is kind of the gift that we give back to all these entities in a sense. And because of the extreme drop in the real estate transfer tax, the pie has shrunk such that Mr. Baker and his budget committee has been forced to make some very difficult decisions. I don't hear a warm embrace of Mr. Cole's idea, but I do believe Mr. Baker will take it into consideration. And if he feels it has merit, he will incorporate it in the budget presented next week. Well, now, when the budget is presented next week, it's not in stone. A public hearing will be held the second or third week in June. The public will then get to comment on this budget. And after that public hearing, the council then will again debate the merits of each of these spending line items. At that point in time, we will then be able to issue by item, take votes on the funding levels. And we may come up with a radically different budget. In the past, the council has not done that because they have great confidence in the administrator, and many of these issues are worked out ahead of time. So this, what we do today is not going to be locked in stone, but it does give the administration direction. Mr. Cole?
Well, I was just going to say that, I mean, I know he's under the gun. He's got a lot on his table. We ought to maybe just get a consensus. I mean, because there's no sense him wasting any time if there's no consensus to maybe move forward with it. So I would just say, can we get a consensus? Should Dave look into it, talk to the state police, find out if there's a way we could reallocate it? It's not bringing in any more money to the table. It's just the same money, just switching it around. Is there a consensus that this has merit? Then Dave could do it. If there's a consensus that, we, you know, no, we like it the way it is, or, you know, whatever, then Dave doesn't have to spend any time on that at this point. We only got a week that we're going
to
do this.
And, that, and that's what I attempted by accepting your suggestion as a motion.
Well, I didn't want to make a motion, but I thought that was a little premature, but maybe just a consensus.
We'll check into it and see what possibilities there are.
Is there a consensus for him to do that?
Sure. Okay. I mean, if you can do that with the same monies.
Right. I'm not asking for any new money.
Okay.
May I make a comment?
Just a minute, Ms. Webb. Ms. Deaver, are you at this point comfortable with encouraging Mr. Baker to look into this?
Of course. But okay. My question is, with the increase in population that we've had over the years, do we know how many police we have per person? Do we know what the coverage is in the county?
With the state police?
With all of them. I mean, do we know? I mean, have we been funding the same amount of police for the past great number of years?
No, they have increased
every year
almost every year.
Okay, yes. Every year. This would be the first year that we hadn't done that. And we would be cutting back even more if we look at this. Okay, that's what we're saying. All right.
For members of the press, Mr. Shortridge, before you leave, I want to clarify, I misspoke when I said this is a gift. It should be considered a grant, not a gift. Mr. Wilson, have you any comments before we move on? And I'll give the floor to Ms. Webb after that. You said enough. Ms. Webb?
Could I request that we incorporate this after Tuesdays, because we are finalizing, and to regroup and backtrack is getting, you know,
wearing you out?
Well, no, it's
time constraint.
You get where you've got to cut off what the information is. Now, I mean, I don't know how Dave feels about that or how you feel about that, but were you looking for it to be in the numbers on Tuesday or a suggestion out there?
I didn't want to wait. I mean, many times I've seen these budgets, you know, we introduce them, nobody says anything, then the hearings, you know, in June, and then we got a week to do some bunch of changes. We get backed up against the wall, and everybody says, we've run out of time. What I was just trying to do is just be a little, you know, proactive. I've since this has come to light, I've heard from some local town. Mm-hmm. And
well, from May 21st to June 19th is a whole nother month.
Right. Well, I know,
there
but
might
my personal
be more
opinion
changes.
Is we have been so generous with the state police in that program, and we have really done a lot of good to help the citizens of this county. But I think the small towns now are at a critical juncture.
I agree.
And I'd rather reallocate some of that money, still give them money, but reallocate it to the local towns, because that's where I think the need is right now. That's all. So if you can find out something, and I'm not trying to, I didn't want to get a vote to really force something. If it can be put in next week's budget, if there's a consensus to look at it and we can do it, you know, I'd like to see the council to support it, right? So.
Well, if there's no objection from council, I'll direct the county administrator to look into it. If he is comfortable in incorporating some formula, reallocation formula in next week's budget, that's fine. But we are not holding
your gun
to your head.
It's your judgment call, right, David, to include it or not include it next week.
Okay.
Okay. How do you like that?
Thank you.
We make everybody happy.
Does the council have any other comments about the grant in aid information presented by our administrator? If not, we'll continue with old business.
Old business.
And I believe that